right. See? And we have practice every other week. Tuesdays at 6. You're welcome to be a part of this. So I'm over here scratching out the sermon because I'm not going to last much longer, I can tell. So I want to talk to you, though, about the importance of a vision. God didn't make just one flower. God didn't make just one tree. God didn't make just one animal. God created diversity. That's the vision that God has for creation. That's God's vision. We've heard it said 1,000 times, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And the importance of a vision is that it allows us, gives us the image of what God wants us to be able to see. And right now, we're living in a time when a lot of that vision is being lost. You might remember the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where Butch says, I've got vision and the rest of the world is wearing bifocals. God's given us a vision to share. And I want to stress this to you all. You're that vision. You're it. We are that vision. I'm encouraged because when I was speaking with Cindy this week, she was telling me about her church in Spain. They're that vision as well. You look around us right now. You look at our diversity. I'm saying this with a great deal of humble pride. We're that vision. Look around. We don't look alike. You talk with people. We don't sound alike. We probably don't vote alike. We don't think alike. And yet we're all here. You said when you're baking a cake, like I know a lot about baking, but you have sugar and you have salt. Both ingredients are important in order to be able to accomplish and fulfill that vision. God intends diversity as a part of our human condition. God wants the diversity. And we're living in a time right now when there's an awful lot of hate and fear being thrown out there. We're living in a time when a lot of people are trying to divide us, when people are trying to say, unless you look like us, act like us, think like us, vote like us, then you're not part of us. We're the image that we need to get out to the world to show people, no, that's not true. That there is a gift in our diversity. We're not supposed to look alike. We're not supposed to think alike. We're not supposed to sound alike. We're not supposed to be alike. That's not what God intended. That's not the image he ever intended for us to have. I know we like to fault Peter because, you know, he's an easy guy. You know, I mean, no matter what else, we can always say, well, at least we're not Peter. You know, where at least we're not Peter. Peter was like that. You know, and Peter at the vision, he wants to build a booth. You know, at least he recognized the importance of the vision. He may not have understood it fully, but he knew it was important. What he didn't understand, that vision wasn't something to be preserved and hidden. It was a vision that was meant to be shared. God is counting on us to share the vision. We're not supposed to just come here at 215 South Congress and be in our pew and celebrate our goodness and then forget about it the rest of the week. We've got to get out into the world and show people the vision of what God intends to be a part of the community, to be a part of the planet, to be a part of the human creation. All of us together are a part of that vision, and here we're able to model it, but it's important that we get out there. There is no plan B. Plan B is to do plan A, and plan A is for us to share a vision that God has entrusted with us about how his grace is intended for all people. His love is intended for all people. We're not supposed to be living in fear and just all the hate that's going out there, but instead we are able to model a different view of creation. We're able to model God's view. Without a vision, people perish. We read that in Proverbs. Without that vision, we are going to die. We will never, ever be able to live in the fulfillment of God's promise and the abundance of God's life that he wants us to have. To be fearful all the time and not to be able to share who we are and to be able to celebrate that, not because we're good, but because God is good and God is gracious. I don't know if you've ever heard of a man named Lee Thomas. Lee Thomas is a TV news anchor. And all of his life, that's what he wanted to be. Always wanted to be the guy in front of the camera, you know, and do all of that. And through a great deal of sacrifice on his part, his sister's part, his mom's part, he was able to achieve that goal. Anchor station, New York City. It's a pretty big market, all right? And as he's developing in his career, there's a patch on his scalp. And the barber sees it and says, you know, I think this might be vitiligo. That's where the skin begins to discolor. Some of you may have been aware of it. It's not contagious. It's not terminal. But it can spread. It can continue on. And it can happen to any gender. It can happen to any ethnicity. He happens to be an African American. He happens to be black. But it's causing his skin to turn white. It's not that it turns white, it's just a totally absence of any pigmentation whatsoever. He's in front of the camera, and his skin is beginning to change colors. Now, I'm not on TV, but they wear makeup. But they wear makeup before they go in front of the cameras. So he's able to make an adjustment. He begins making an adjustment, putting on more and more makeup, because the disease is spreading. It's growing across his whole face. It goes across his hands. It's growing everywhere, and he's doing his best to cover it up. But he can't go 24/7 covered up. I mean, he could, but he's not wanting to. But he's noticing that it's beginning to change him inside because of the way people are looking at him. He looks obviously different, and people stare. And he's finding that inside of him that he's becoming angry and he's becoming resentful because he doesn't like the way he's being treated. People will move across the room. They don't know if he has leprosy. They don't know what's going on. And they begin to treat him differently. They begin to reject him. And it's beginning to harden his heart. And so he decides, well, I'll reject them before they can reject me. And it becomes a big spiritual challenge for him to be able to find a way to live with this condition and yet to deal with the way that other people begin to act with him. And it becomes a very big problem. He's at a grocery store, and a little girl, 2 or 3 years old, falls, and he goes over to help her to make sure that she's okay, and she screams because of his appearance. He says, I hid in my house for 2 weeks and 3 days. He just didn't know how to respond. And as he's growing through this disease, and as he's coming, he comes at last to a point of, this is who he is. This is who he is. And he's going to have to learn to do it. And he begins to grow through that point. And sure enough, it was a short time later, same grocery store, but a different little girl comes up and wants to know if he has a boo-boo. And then she begins to reach out to touch him because she's never seen skin like his before. And she's asking her mom, because he doesn't speak two-year-old, you know, because two-year-olds have their own language. And so he's asking his mom, what's she doing? And she says, she thinks you're chocolate and vanilla, and she's trying to decide which one you are. You know, and then it gives her a kiss, gives him a kiss, and it just begins to change the way he is, and he begins to understand that this is who he is, and he's beginning to try to find ways to deal with this, and so he starts sharing his story about having this disease, and one of the mothers heard the story, and she says, hey, can my son talk to you? And he said, yeah, sure, I'll talk to your son. So her son calls him up. He's 14 years old. Study genius, straight A's, takes karate, does all these things. Very well adjusted. He has the disease. He has the disease. And he talks about the frustration and the bullying and the comments and all the things that go on. And he says, Mr. Thomas, can I ask you a question? And so, you know, Lee says, sure, what is it? He goes, how come you don't go in front of the cameras without all of that makeup on you? How come you just don't go out the way you are? And, you know, he's like, well, because, you know. And he says, but he says, actually, my boss has asked me to do that a couple of times. And I told her I would think about it, because you can't tell your boss no. You know, you just say, I'll think about it. And this 14-year-old kid says, well, I think it would make a big difference. I think it would really help. And he says, and it wasn't for him. He says, in my neighborhood, there's an 8-year-old boy who has the same condition, and he wears a ski mask every time he leaves his house. You see, this is a famous celebrity. We don't know him, Lee Thomas, but New York City and Detroit, they know him, all right? They know him. And he's being stopped all the time because he sounds like the guy they see on TV, but the guy they see on TV doesn't look like the guy that's in the grocery store. And Lee was challenged by that, so he spoke to his boss. He says, okay. He says, we're going to have to wait till the next rating book come out because I know my boss and the ratings are going to get a huge bump. Come watch a black man turn white on national TV, you know, and all of that was going to happen. But he did it. He showed the world who he was so that he could encourage an 8-year-old boy that he didn't have to hide. You don't have to hide who you are. When we're brave enough and strong enough to go out into the world and show how God's grace transforms us, how God's grace lives in us, with any other defect that other people may notice about us, to be able to go out there and to share that image encourages other people. We are the vision God intends, not to hide, but to go out. God is counting on you to be who you are, who he created you to be. You are his child, loved, empowered, and sent forth. Amen.
Please stand if you're able.